sorry for interrupting Sushil Prabhu when he was giving his wonderful explanation. I am only going to add maybe a few tidbits here and there, whatever comes to my mind when I heard the discussion today here. The first question any true seeker of happiness should ask is this. You know, there is a song which I heard in my school days. So this song says, go all around the world and search for happiness. Where is happiness? And you find out. So that singer says, you know, that he went to a place, he got married, he got a house, he got a car, he got a good business, he got wine, he got this, he got that, so many things he got. And he was searching for happiness in all these things. And his pursuit of happiness never ended. It went on and on like that. So, this song begins like a material song, but ends with a spiritual note. That one can achieve everlasting happiness only at the feet of Lord Mukunda. Like that he concludes this song. So, when we talk of happiness or when we seek happiness, certainly one should approach this question boldly. You call all the people who are claiming to be happy, call the gluttons, call the sex mongers, call the wine drinkers, call the rich, call the greedy, call all kinds of people. And you ask them, have you never suffered anxiety? Have you never suffered any kind of pain in your life? Are you completely absorbed in happiness with all these things? Because certainly, as a seeker of truth, I wouldn't mind taking to anything of this world which will give me the ultimate happiness. So that is the meaning of a seeker of happiness, isn't it? Anything that will give me happiness, certainly I will seek it. So you call all these people and ask for yourself whether they achieved happiness through these things. That's why we gave this topic today. Whether people are happy with all these things. We may say that every one of these pleasurable objects, they certainly plunge a person into misery afterwards. But then one may say, of course he may suffer misery for some time, but then he certainly enjoys some pleasures also. Like a rich man, for example, he may suffer here and there a little bit. But then, rest of the time he is enjoying. He has so many facilities. Why not? At this crossroad, one has to ask this question. Am I this body or am I different from this body? If we think that I am this body and death is like the end of a tunnel where my whole existence is vanquished, there is nothing ahead, then for such a person, he has to adjust his life in such a way that he can enjoy all the pleasures of the world as far as possible within this one life. Because he has nothing to do after death. At death for him, everything is finished. So if you were the body, then going for the pleasures of this world would never be considered a mistake. In fact, you would be considered the most wise man in the whole world. Because you should try to grasp as many pleasures as possible. But if you are mistaken, and if you are not the body, then one is considered the greatest fool, if one is chasing for the mirage of dazzling pleasures of this world. Because all these pleasures which one temporarily enjoys in this world for a short period of time, these suck away his valuable time, which would otherwise might have been utilized very productively for regaining his eternal life in the spiritual world. So Jesus asked a very sensible question. What profit of the man who gains the whole world at the cost of his own soul? It's a very meaningful question. If somebody tells you, I'll give you a picture, but the price of the picture is you have to give your two eyes. Would you buy that picture for your two eyes? This is what sense gratification is. That's why he said, asannapi kleshada asadeha. Nasadu manye, yatatmanoyam, asat api kleshada asadeha. He said, this material body, which is full of suffering, it offers so many pleasures in this world, but then in return, one forgets his eternal life. One is completely intoxicated. Even the example of Einstein that he was talking about, ask this question to yourself. Are we looking for a method or a technique something like opium, something like LSD or opium, which can completely keep yourself intoxicated so that lifelong you will be able to move your life, and then you will come to the fag end of your life and you will die one day. Is that life considered successful? Somebody is intoxicated researching in a laboratory. Somebody is intoxicated as a singer in cinema movie. Somebody is intoxicated as a big film star. So these people suddenly appear to be very happy because they are actually in the top ranks of society. So are we looking for some activity that will keep us so thoroughly engaged that you will not be able to feel the other pains of this world up to the end of your death? Are you looking for such a profession or such a job? If you wear this body, then you are considered successful again. His ancient warrior's body, throughout his life, he was so much engaged in his laboratory, completely intoxicated in his research work. So he successfully avoided all the pains of this world. Or he felt as if, a pure devotee doesn't pay any attention to the miseries of the world. Like that, ancient also didn't pay any attention to the sufferings of the world. And successfully he sat in the laboratory. This is not at all considered a success. Because this brief time that we spend in this material world is a tiny flash in the entire time span of eternity. It's a tiny flash. Just like some flies are born in the night and they die in the early morning. The life is so short. Our life is exactly like that when we compare it to the time span of eternity. Only a fool who is covered by drunken blindness and utter forgetfulness of Krishna, only such a person can trade his eternal birthright simply for the sake of getting some flickering pleasure that passes away in no time. So, this million dollar question is very important. Am I this body or am I different from the body? So in this song which I heard, this fellow was searching for happiness in this world. He went from one place to another and he tried to enjoy all of them. But he came with many interesting conclusions. He says, as soon as you are born, you cry. And when you grow up, you get sickness and disease. In old age, you suffer from infirmity and remorse. And at the time of death, you lose all hope. And everything is finished at the time of death. This is the life of any average person in society. If you take anybody, this is how the whole life is arranged. Whether a person is rich or poor, whether a person is a priest or a sinner, everyone is bound by the laws of karma in this world. So somebody may do good as a priest, somebody may do bad as a sinner, but ultimately one is bound by the laws of karma and they are repeatedly bound again and again, and they go on suffering. Then who is free? Which person is free in society? Even the wise or the foolish, rich or the poor, or one who is a slave or one who is free, all these people are considered to be suffering unless they are Krishna conscious. Only one who has strike the relationship with the Supreme Lord Krishna, with God, one who has understood the way to get out of this quagmire of material existence, only he can achieve true happiness. So, this is a very fundamental question. I anticipated that this point will be covered somewhere whenever we hear a lecture on such a topic like this. This is a very, very fundamental point. Because if you are not the body, then it is a very serious matter. Then we are enduring so much sufferings now, only to suffer more in future. You suffer so much now because of the past sins, and now you do more sins so that you can suffer more in future. How foolish idea it is, if you are going to ever exist in future. So somebody was asking, only a pure devotee and a fool are happy, we are in between. So if you are trying to become Krishna conscious, are we not suffering? Then what is the use of Krishna consciousness? See, when we talk of becoming happy, or becoming happier, whatever you call it, we are not quantifying this happiness from the viewpoint of how many teeth you can show. Whether you can show 16 teeth or 32 teeth in this world. Our happiness is not measured like that. When we talk of the wisdom given in the Shastras, our happiness, this happiness is actually something that can give you everlasting happiness, or something that can situate you in such an everlasting state from which you will never have to fall. One What is our position in this material world? We are exactly like children who are tormented in the darkness. Like a child is being beaten up with whips, you know. He doesn't know who is beating him. And in darkness he is crying, I don't know where is my mother, where is my father. He is rolling on the ground, he is being gripped by somebody. This is the condition of everyone in this world. And one has to have some authority. Somebody was asking, is there any objective way of finding out who is happy and who is not? So you also begin searching for happiness like this. Go all around the world. Meet different people, go to different countries, read different books, do it for yourself. And you will come to understand that there are different levels of happiness. Like Krishna Prabhu was explaining. Somebody wants to enjoy like a pig. So, and there are so many material pressures. People enjoy the level of body, the level of mind and intelligence and so on and so forth. But one has to come to a point where one has to put faith in someone who can deliver us from this world. Because ultimately everyone in this world is living, putting faith on somebody. Like if you see a family, wife has faith in the husband that he'll give me protection throughout the life. She never thinks of a divorce when she gets married. Similarly, everyone has to put faith in somebody in this world. And when we take to the path of Krishna consciousness, we certainly suffer as neophyte devotees till we become pure devotees. There is no doubt about that. Say, for example, you go to your doctor, you have a cancer, and doctor tells you that you have to spend about 1 lakh rupees. This is the price you have to pay. Okay, I'll pay 1 lakh, I don't mind. Somehow I'll collect debt from my friends and I'll pay it to you. So, doctor, can you assure me that you'll cure me of this disease? And he says, I can only try. I don't know. Maybe the disease will be cured little bit, maybe it may be made into half. Then you may have half the cancer what you have now. Then if you say, what's the use? What is the use of paying so much money to you? You're not curing my disease properly. But still, we do not go to the doctor. Because doctor says, if you don't get cured now, if you don't pay this amount and get cured now, it may get cured fully also. But if you don't pay this amount and begin curing your disease, then it may get worse and you will perish. So what would you do? Any of you tell me, what would you do? How many of you would pay the amount and go for cure? Yeah. So you all know very well that you're putting so much amount and you may not be completely cured, still you pay it, isn't it? Because you know that if I don't cure it, I will perish. That much you know. So let me at least pay something and try for a cure. So you're beginning somewhere. In the same way, one who has committed sins in the past, now he is suffering now in this life. And now he is not only suffering the sinful reactions, he also has sinful tendencies, due to which he is impelled to again and again do more sins. But the Shastras say, stop it. Don't do any more sins if you want to become happy. And some people say, you know, even devotees are suffering old age, devotees are suffering disease, devotees are also dying. So why not I do these sinful activities and then why not I die? There are people who ask questions like that. But devotees, because they have accepted the authority of the spiritual master and they have given up their sinful activities, do you know what happens to them? Because they have stopped sinful activities now, they don't have to suffer reactions in the future. They are only undergoing reactions for the past now, but they will not have to suffer any reactions in the future. This was actually understood even by Somerset Maugham in one of his books called as Razor's Edge. He is quoting this. He says, there is no theory so self-sufficient and so thoroughly explaining the law of reaction, action and reaction. So we are suffering now, of course, but then we will never have to suffer in future. And we are seeing that our sufferings are also gradually reducing. Because when one becomes Krishna's devotee, gradually all one's sufferings are mitigated. Everything is burnt of karma and nirjati, as we say. But one who doesn't become a devotee, what happens to him? He is just aggravating the disease more and more. Like he is suffering for the past now, and now by doing sinful activities, he will suffer in the future, isn't it? And then, because he is doing sinful activities now, he is going to have tendency in the future, which will commit further sins in future. For which in future he will suffer, isn't it? So it goes on accruing. It's like a geometric progression. It goes on multiplying. So somewhere we have to take an action. Somebody asked the same question to Jayadeva Swami. So Jayadeva Swami Maharaj was telling that if you are in a jail, you become a gentleman at least. So they will let you out someday. If you say, okay, I will become a gentleman, then will you let me out? If you ask. They may say, no, now you are in C-class jail, maybe we will put you in B-class and then in A-class and then we will watch your behavior for some more time. And then when we are convinced you are a perfect gentleman, then we will let you off. But then you say, what is the use of, you know, waiting till then? Let me live in a rascal only. So I will not break the stones. Then they will give you a whipping. Huh? If you don't do the work that is offered to you in the jail, then what will be given to you? They will whip you, they will beat you, they will give you further punishment. Similarly, those people who say, why to go to God? Let me just enjoy with my senses. Yes, you enjoy. But everything you enjoy, you will get a kick or a slap. Everything you try to enjoy, every sin you want to perform, you will get reaction for that. But a devotee is like that jailer who puts faith in the authorities and he says, okay, now let me behave like a gentleman. So he was made to break stones in C-class jail. Now, yeah, maybe he is elevated to another jail where, you know, he can just handle books in the library, or he can do some gardening, or he can do some typewriting. Or if the jailers are very convinced that this person is a very good gentleman, then even let him go immediately. He's so perfect. Then immediately let him out of the jail. So, any sane man at least should think about life that I should perform some pious activity. That is the beginning actually. Let me follow some dharma, some kind of dharma in life. Dharmena hina, pashibe samano, it is said. So, any wise man, when he opens his eyes to find out what is real happiness, like we heard from Krishna Shukra today, so many angles he gave to understanding what is pleasure in this world. From all this analysis, one can understand that this place is not meant for a gentleman. Even if one gets some pleasure or happiness, there is flickering, and there are so many aspects to it. Like, you know, they said the pleasure that we get from the mental body is like twins, you know. Twins are bound together. Similarly, happiness and distress are bound together. When happiness comes, distress also comes along with that. We cannot escape that. So this can be practically observed by someone who is little elevated in society. Like he was telling about somebody in Tamaguna, Rajaguna. So when somebody in Sattaguna, he has 11 senses, he can clearly see that. He gets the ability to see that. As far as the spiritual happiness is concerned, it is absolute. It's not like the relief that one gets while experiencing the material pressures in this world. Material pressure, all the pressures we experience is considered a relief. It's called as a relief. Relief means you constantly suffer, at one point you are given a little relief, and again you are plunged again into suffering. And it goes on and on and on. Like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the example is given of dunking the thief. You dunk him in the water and give him little relief. Again you dunk him. Actually, spiritual pleasure has no connection to this concept. Spiritual pleasure is absolute pleasure, which exists on a different platform altogether. In fact, we cannot portray it with speaking with words or describing it in any terms. One has to actually experience it for oneself. That's why I said we need an authority to guide us. So we have to put faith in some authority. So everyone in this world is looking for someone who can guide us. So when one puts faith in authority, when one advances more and more, then one gets to understand how spiritual happiness is something altogether different. In fact, you will find devotees are the most emotional people. Devotees, even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or for that matter, any literature, you find them angry, you find them happy, you find them weeping. You see Jagadan Pandit's character, you see Damodar Pandit's character, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu jumping into the Ganges, saying that I have no love for Krishna. And you don't find them calm, cool and collected, you know. Very casual looking here and there, like this, and like a mature person. So somebody was asking this question. Sometimes we find people, you know, very calm, cool and collected, and as if, you know, they are very mature people. They have achieved the ultimate platform of happiness. This is not considered happiness. The real platform is to have all the emotions. If one doesn't have emotions, it's considered a stone. Prabhupada writes that in his purpose. If one doesn't have emotions, if one always keeps mum, means like a dead stone, devoid of any emotions. In fact, on the spiritual platform, on the positive axis, there are great spiritual emotions that are exchanged between Lord and his devotees. Yam krodha kama sahaja pranayadi bhiti. We sing in Brahma Samhita. Tatsalya guru gaurava sevya bhavai. So in Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji says that all these emotions like kama, krodha, lobha, all these things are there on a spiritual platform also. Like somebody was asking, we are trying to get rid of it. We are not trying to get rid of it. Don't think that we want to get rid of it. Kama Krishna Karmarpane, Krodha Bhakta Dveshi Jane, Lobha Sadhu Sangya Harikata, it is said. Every one of them is existing on a spiritual platform purely. So we are just trying to purify it, and instead of engaging it in material activities, we are engaging it in spiritual activities. Gopis are karma for Krishna, enormous love for Krishna. Similarly, Arjuna felt anger on behalf of Krishna and killed all the soldiers. Hanuman felt anger. Similarly, Rupa Goswami says, Lavlyam Apiyakala Moolyam, he says. The loba you have for achieving Krishna's association is the price that you have to pay for going back to Godhead. So these emotions are existing on a pure plane. Many people, they like living a very calm life, cool life. They don't want fight, they don't want quarrel with anyone. In fact, if you try to argue with them, they will say, why are you arguing like this? Why do you become angry like this? Just take it easy. Be good, do good. So these people are like the crane. No, a crane sometimes stands in the water looking down. Looks like a sage, you know. Very, very calm, cool and collected. When the fish comes, he will pounce upon the fish. You heard of that Rudraksha cat? The cat was wearing Rudraksha and putting basma all over his body. And he looked like a very great saintly person. So all the rats in the neighborhood, they all had a meeting. They discussed it. How our cat has become so saintly. And one cat said, yes, these days I am also observing. I think because he has become bold, he wants to take vanaprastha now. So one of the bold leaders of the rats, he approached the cat by his side and asked him, Sir, how did you become like this? You have become so calm. What happened to you? Why you have given up the habit of catching us? And the cat said, No, I have performed so many sinful activities in the past. Now I am just going to the Ganges to take a dip, to give up all my sinful reactions. And now I am simply going to meditate on Lord Shiva. In this way, I am going to be a devotee and I am not going to cause any harm to any living beings. I want to be good and do good. So cat spoke like that. And the rat was very happy. He said, thank you, sir. By your good behavior, now all our rat friends have freedom. They can go anywhere. But the cat said, I have only one problem. Every day when I have to go to the Ganges to take a dip, I am such a bold man, I want one of you to hold my hands and take me there. And rat said, never mind. We will arrange to take you there. Then every day one rat would come and he would go with the rat to the Ganges River. And there was one intelligent rat. He said, why does our cat master need one rat every day? What is happening to our friends? Every day one of our rat friends goes to escort him to the Ganges, but then he never returns back. What's happening to him? Then the rat started thinking, oh yes, it's very true. Then they came to know the truth. What is the cat doing? He goes up to the Ganges and he takes a dip and then has his meal, morning meal. He consumes the rat. So there are many people who appear to be calm, cool and collected, but when it comes to the question of enjoyment, nobody is free from this tendency in this world. Nobody is free in this world. Like I saw one man, he was a blind man, he was singing and begging. But I saw him, he had his wife and he had about 4 children who were passing with him. They were all begging, he was sending all the children. So he may be a blind man, but it's not that he doesn't want any enjoyment in the world. So he sings some cinema movie and he's got a cigarette packet in his one pocket, he's got a cigarette. And he has got his children who go for him to beg. So he may have blindness, but the blindness doesn't actually free him from desire to enjoy. So there are many people like that who pose themselves to be very calm, cool. So you just wait and see how they enjoy this world. It's only a matter of time, you will see. But the devotees, if you see the devotees exhibit all true emotions. Kama, krodha, yam krodha, kama, sahajappana, yadi, bhiti. Vatsalya, maha, guru, gaurav, savya, bhavi. So the impersonalists say, the great souls who know the truth, they do not speak. Those who speak do not know. This is the formula. Those who know the truth do not speak. Those who do not know the truth, they speak according to them. So saying this, they grow a long beard and they grow a long matted hair, everything, and then they give ashirvad to everyone. And maximum what they will do is open their eyes. Oh, Swamiji has opened eyes, and then give a smile at somebody. But in the background, such people indulge in illicit sex. They indulge in taking snuff, everything they do. So this kind of cheaters who practice some artificial mound are not at all appreciated in the Shastra. Rather, the true emotions of the soul, where one behaves naturally as a soul. Because soul is by nature very active. If it were not, then why are we so active even in a conditioned stage, when we are bound by this body? Soul originally is very active and full of emotions. Actually, you all know the story of beggar, what he was telling? He was actually only telling partly true, the beggar story. See, the story goes like this. Once upon a time, a king was suffering terribly. So, he called for a sadhu and asked him, how can I become happy? So, the sadhu told him, you get the shirt of the happiest man in the world in your kingdom. You get his shirt and you wear it, then you can become happy. Sadhu told them. So, he sent for all his ministers and they went all over the country, here and there, and they searched for that person who is happy. Wherever they found people, they were all suffering. But there was one man who was under a tree, having no property, having nothing. So his face was full of smiles. He appeared to be very, very happy. So they went and asked him, do you have any problem? He said, no problem. I'm very happy. So they asked him, please give us your shirt. He said, I have no shirt. Then they went and reported to the king that the happiest man, he doesn't have the shirt. So the moral of the story is this, that one who is the happiest man, he doesn't increase his necessities. He lives a very simple life in union with God. That's the moral of the story, the happy man story, which says that. So the sadhu wanted to teach the king that you are increasing your necessities more and more, thereby you are entangling yourself in this world. So reduce your wants and try to become close to God. That's what he taught. So that is actually the moral of the story. Regarding this direct and indirect happiness, I'll take the question as the last question. I heard one lecture of Devamrit Swami from America. He had come to Bombay. So he was telling how actually one can enjoy the ultimate happiness with Krishna. But when one wants to be separate, then Krishna, how he expands as Lord Shiva, isn't it? Shiram yatha dadivikar vishesha yoga. It's like a milk turns into curd. Sometimes you've seen curd, how it is so sour, seen the taste of curd, because it's fermented, that is fermented. Similarly, Krishna, he expands as Shiva. Similarly, Radharani, how she expands? One of her expansions is actually Durga. So Durga is very ghastly. If you see Durga, she is called Bhadrakali. All her mouths are wide open, and her tongue is protruding out, and she has big teeth, and she has got 12 hands, and she is holding different types of weapons. And she's holding a chopper and chopping off the heads of so many demons and holding their heads in one of her hands. And everywhere it is a bloody mess. And sometimes you find that picture of Bhadrakali dancing on Shiva's chest, which shows that Lord Shiva himself cannot control the material energy. She's so powerful. So Shiva actually tries to, Shiva is the only person who can control her. So she dances on Shiva's chest. And while so dancing, she is stamping on the heads and bodies of so many demons. So this ghastly picture of Bhadrakali or Durga, who sometimes boards on a tiger, which represents the mode of passion. So this form represents the material energy in which one can get reciprocation if one wants to serve Krishna indirectly. This is the way Krishna wants to reciprocate with you indirectly through his material energy. So either, like I said, the child tormented in being tormented in the darkness, that is the condition when you become separate from Krishna. So, this is the backside of Krishna, as it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, the material world. Because we have turned our face away from Him, and this is the way Krishna reciprocates with us. So, we go on life after life to come to the point of understanding how to directly be connected to Krishna. So, there is Mahamaya and there is Yogamaya. So, the topics which I gave for this semester, different topics, these topics are a good food for thought for devotees. See, as devotees, we not only should learn examples, learn stories, and learn philosophy, and learn to speak it very effectively and powerfully, but we should take these things very seriously in our personal lives. If you are left alone, naked in the midst of a forest, what would you do in this world? Would you speak all this philosophy and still go and enjoy something? So, once you take these topics that are given for this semester, these are actually very, very thought-provoking. So the pleasures that we are talking about are not only sex pleasure, any pleasure that we want to enjoy separate from Krishna. Even the taste of the foods that we want to enjoy for the taste buds, or the tongue, or the beautiful sights you want to see, or fragrant things you want to smell, anything of this world, any pleasures that you want to enjoy separate from Krishna. So let us ask this question to ourselves, am I this body or am I different from the body? So the whole material world is heading for material happiness, but they are sadly mistaken because they are not their bodies. So everything is going to come to a naught. One point of time, finished. At the time of death, everything is stripped off. So, as devotees, we are ready to wait for a million lifetimes if we are standing for truth. If I know that I am eternal and to achieve that eternal life, it will take me a million times, I don't mind treading the path of eternal life. Even if in this very life, I am not going to get any happiness. I do not get any happiness. Throughout this life, if somebody tells me, if you do this particular, every day you chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, and you follow the four regulative principles, and you wash this bath and wash these parts, and you wear this type of dress, and you keep a shika, I don't mind doing anything. You tell me to do anything in this world, I'll do. If it will lead me to eternal life, it will lead me back to God. So we should be like that ready. We are ready to do anything that the Guru wants us to do, if it can lead us to eternal life. So that is the meaning of a real seeker of happiness. So let it take a million lifetimes, what is the problem? Because you are on the right track. Whatever it takes, you have to do it anyway. You have to get out of the jail, whether today or tomorrow. If you ask the jailers, when will you let me out? Tell me exactly. Now I'm going to be a gentleman, tell me. When will you leave me out? No, first you prove yourself to be a gentleman and then you anticipate. Will they not say that to you? If you demand that. So don't demand. Whether within this lifetime, whether we could live like Einstein, completely numb from all the materialistic pains and pricks of the material world. There is no greatness in that. It is simply a life of ignorance, just like in Sushupti, in the night. In the night, Sushupti, do you feel any pain? Do you feel any swapna? Do you think about your affairs in the office? You don't think. Sushupti means deep ignorance. Similarly, simply intoxicating ourselves, doing something. There are some people who are violinists. Throughout the life playing violin only, they keep on going from place to place, keep playing violin, or keep playing some instrument, and they don't feel any suffering at all. Do you think they have succeeded in their life? No. Simply it's useless life. So, our goal of life is to not just engage in any something of this world, to keep away from the sufferings. Even if you are successful, that is only effectively applicable to this one life, which is a flash in the time span of eternity. When we talk of Krishna consciousness, we talk in terms of eternal life, which is actually the eternal birth rate of the soul. So I'll stop here, I'd like to conclude the meeting today early, because tomorrow is Ekadashi. We'd like to wake up early and chant. Anybody has any one question? Based on what I spoke now. Where is the mic?
What should be the basis of that faith? You said that you are ready to do anything.
See, as I said, you can put faith in anybody, right? You can put faith in anybody. You can put faith in your professor. You can put faith in your mother. You can put faith in some scientist. You can put faith in anybody. Now, we all have seen, like one time Radha Gopinath was telling, see, if you can give me something better than what I am doing now, I will leave this and I will come to you, he said. This much open-minded a devotee is. A devotee is open-minded. If you can give him something better, he's ready to give up his engagement now. So you practice for yourself and see. So you can try, different people are saying you different things, you practice and see for yourself. And you will see that when one practices Krishna consciousness, not only it is satisfying to the intellect, not only it's logical and it's reasonable and to practice, but one will see pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartumarjayam. Yesterday morning we were discussing this verse elaborately. Pratyaksha Vagam Dharmyam, Prabhupada gives 4 or 5 different angles to it. What is this Pratyaksha Vagamam? He is saying it can be seen that as soon as a person takes to Krishna consciousness, the worst of the criminals, he gives up all sinful activities. Just like Nugari. He was half killing animals. He was such a criminal. So he could not even offer obeisances on an ant. Correct? He took his angavastra and started moving the ants. This is number one. One becomes immediately purified. Similarly, Prabhupada says 4 different angles to it. What is Pratyaksha Agam? You read the 9th canto Rajavidya Rajabhukhyam, the purport Prabhupada explains. So, Krishna consciousness promises some results which cannot be achieved by anything. The criminals are controlled by American police. If you see, policemen are being shot by the criminals. They are not able to control. The biggest economic giant in the world, they are not able to control criminals with the best of their military and forces. They are not able to. But here is a sadhu coming from India, 70-year-old man, giving some mantra, and then immediately criminals, they shave up, you know, they wear saffron, kanti mala, Hare Krishna, you know, and giving up. How is it possible? Is it not a miracle? How people, in our organization there are big criminals who have become great devotees. Probably you might not know who are those people. But there are many people like that who have become great devotees. So how can a path transform a person like that? So see for yourself. This is only one angle I'm giving. You read the other angles and see for yourself. You practice it. And then your faith will proportionately develop. So you have the right to inquire everyone in this world, and then you come to a conclusion yourself. So Shastra is the ultimate authority. Shastra is the mother. Shastra is everything. That you will understand when you live the Shastra. You become a walking scripture. You act according to Shastra. Then you will understand how Shastras are actually taking you to that ultimate abode. And if you don't follow them, this body is like a sinking boat. Sinking ship. Everyone is sinking into the material world. So, I would like to thank Krishna Prabhu very much for wonderfully giving such a deep understanding of the philosophy with so many humorous points which made everyone understand things through humor and seriousness. Very wonderfully presented various angles. Actually, many of the points which I was planning to say, he had already covered them. And also, Samir, we have to certainly appreciate him. Although being so young, he prepared very well. Actually, this subject is a very high level subject for a very young devotee to give. He is in second year, I think, isn't it, Samir? Third year, yeah, he's in third year of Dvipatil. And we all came just about a year and a half ago, I think. Year and a half ago. For such a young devotee to sit in a place like this in front of all of you and give a lecture is not fun. It's very difficult. Of course, we have kept this system as a practice. I think he got 67% he got. So he did very well. I was thinking of giving a lecture on giving presentations. So I don't know when will you do that. If you all of you agree, we can keep it next week during the IVF meeting time. We can cancel one of the meetings and do it. Or if you keep it Sunday morning, I think Sunday morning pieces meeting is there, I think. Isn't it? Oh, it's a part of the pieces meeting. Yeah. Can you talk about presentations coming Saturday? Who was supposed to give coming Saturday? Well, the thing is, we will lose one meeting actually. That's not a problem. But this is also part of training to learn to give presentations, how we should give presentations. Actually, although there are so many books in the market available how to give presentation, and there are hundreds and hundreds of pages on presentations, I'm going to take only about 25-30 points on that. And also we have to talk the presentation aspect in relevance to devotion service. Karmis give you many tricks which we should not use. So we cannot take things from the outside book directly. Otherwise, you can do it on May 1st. I was thinking May 1st is actually a holiday for everyone. But colleges will be, I think all will be busy with exams. Yeah. Also, Chandramali Swami and Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj are coming. The two subsequent weeks are after the Gaur Purnima. You know? So those 2 weeks will be last. We can't have meetings. So now it's March 9th. Only we have 2 more weeks, I think. 2 or 3. Only 2 more weeks we have.
After
Gaur Purnima, actually 3 we have. Yeah, we have 3 weeks. Okay. Oh, it's on Thursday. But Chandramali Swami is coming Saturday, that's Saturday. Gaur Purnima is Thursday.
Third week
is Chandramali Swami.
31st March?
No, yeah, correct. 30th March is coming.
16,
23 and 30. 30, yeah? Oh, 30th is coming. 32 Saturdays we have. Where is Sandeep Jangam and who is the other one? Vasanthirpu?
No.
He is giving,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, Abhinacharya. Is there any other time anybody can suggest when we can have this presentation, seminar? Actually, because I proposed it long ago, and we never talked about it, I also never prepared. If you fix up a date now, I will also prepare something. And, let's take it here. April? April, you will not be preparing for the exams now. Otherwise, you can do it in the beginning of next semester, otherwise. Yeah.
That will be effective.
Yeah, that will begin presentation. That is all right, no? Next time, maybe first week we can keep next time, I think. One problem is in the beginning weeks, not all devotees are back. That's one problem. Isn't it? In the beginning, first week, second week, not all devotees are back. Sunday morning we can have, yeah. Arav, you can come, you have no problem, Arav sir? Huh? That is 24th, huh? 24th Sunday morning, immediately after the Bhagavatam. Okay. That's all right. Srila Prabhupada ki? Two minutes kirtan will do. Arav, Katha? Akinjan Prabhu is there? Akinjan? Are you sitting there, Akinjan Shubhi? So all of your stickers of happiness, now you all have your search for happiness has come to a culmination point in ISKCON. So you have to actually distribute it to other people. You have to know. Actually, a devotee is one who understands happy or not happy, service to Krishna is my goal actually. Although we are talking about happiness in this life. Actually, such a devotee returns back to Krishna. One who works for Krishna's happiness. Yes, sir. Mridangam. I just took 2 minutes here and I'm going to focus on. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Chaitanya Purunta, Ananda, Shiva, Dada, Shiva, Sadhya, Bhagavad, Bhagavad. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama.